Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
The Major Spoilers podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Rodrigo.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans.
In this issue, Blake. Also a fan favorite hero returns, but another dies in return. Hyperborea falls, the madness rises, and a new team of Rangers enters the Morphin Grid. It's a full slate of awesome brought to you with the Major Spoilers. Elan, joie de vivre, and je ne sais quoi on a croissant with a nice bernaise, a fried egg on top, and Spam. And it's on the air.
Welcome to issue 1034 of the Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. Later in the program, we will talk about The Dead Kingdom from Red 5 Comics and what does the plague mean? We'll get to that in just a little bit, but first, some news. You know, Matthew, it seems like just last week we were talking about the death of Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel, and lamenting the fact that her death in the pages of Amazing Spider-Man was poorly handled. Good news, everyone! Yeah. Ms. Marvel is back! Ms. Marvel, the New Mutant, arrives on August 30th, 2023, and will return the character to the Marvel Universe, but not as an Inhuman, but as a mutant. The four-issue miniseries is written by Iman Vellani, who plays Ms. Marvel in the television show, and Sabir Prezada, with art by Carlos Gomez and Adam Gorham. So this is pretty much a no-brainer that she was coming back. Matthew, it seems like that just throws a whole big cold water on that issue you reviewed last week.
It really does. But I think it, you know what this really stinks of to me?
Synergy.
No, it really feels like the occasional editorial housekeeping decision being couched as a big crossover thing, because, you know, you, of course, we've talked at length about why the Inhumans were a big thing starting in about 2015, and they were being pushed down our throats. And
well, and for listeners who don't know, the reason why that was because, like, Perlmutter really hated the fact that Fox Studios was getting all the money because they had the X-Men, the mutants, and they couldn't use mutants in any of their movies. So Ike made this decision to make sure the Inhumans were the thing that were the up and coming thing. And one of the big characters that came out of this new Inhuman Terrigen Mist was Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel.
Yep. And I feel like this is one of those moments where, like, well, our mutants are back and we really need to make her one of the most popular group of people. And so,
and also, our horrible Inhumans movie failed.
Ugh. Don't even get me started on that.
I think that is the biggest thing, because I think if you just said, hey, everybody, Ms. Marvel is an Inhuman, nobody even reading comics would give two poops.
No.
I mean, like, even people are huge Inhumans diehard fans, or know all the minutia of every single Inhuman that ever existed, wouldn't care if Ms. Marvel was an Inhuman or not, because she's a popular character. But now they have to force this.
The only person who knows all the Inhuman minutia.
Here's the thing. The difference between mutants and Inhumans is in practice, negligible, right? It's like, if you're a mutant, the X gene gives you superpowers. If you're an Inhuman, the Terrigen Mist give you superpowers, right? Mm-hmm. The things that make them different is actually culture, right? Like, were you brought up on the moon? Then you're an Inhuman, right? Or wherever, you know, like, the Inhumans are always hiding out somewhere. Were you brought up in a very dangerous school full of horrible mercenaries? Then you're an X-Men, right? So, to take a character and then be like, this character is a mutant now means nothing, right?
Yeah.
Especially because Kamala Khan has basically always been a mutant, right? It, like, she was just an Inhuman because that's her origin, but she wasn't then immediately sequestered by the Inhuman royal family to train, you know, or anything like that. She just kind of, you know, did her thing for a while. And that's what, you know, if they're not taken by the X-Men, that's what mutants do. They just kind of run around and kick things for a while.
Yeah, and then she has to team up with Spider-Man, and we all saw how that ended.
Yeah.
But she's back. She's back, Rodrigo. She's back. And I'm excited.
Good times. All right. Well, before you get too excited about the return of Ms. Marvel, remember equivalent exchange. So you have to put Moon Knight in the transmutation circle. So Marvel Comics has announced the death of Moon Knight will happen in a 3-part storyline, The Last Days of Moon Knight, which kicks off in Moon Knight number 28, arriving on October 18, 2023. Mark Spector's journey reaches a climactic end as Moon Knight is in a deadly race to intercept the Black Spectre before his apocalyptic schemes bear fruit. But the clock is ticking, and a city hangs in the balance, and when the dust settles, a new vengeance will be born.
I fear that having Ms. Marvel die last quarter and Mark Spector dying this quarter is just remember when we said we were going to kill a hero a year? Well, Moon Knight's next in the rotation. We spun the wheel of destiny, and here's Mark Spector.
Now, the funny thing,
15 years ago that they said that.
Yikes. You know, the funny thing here is that I think they killed Ms. Marvel to bring her closer to the Disney Plus version of her. They might be killing Moon Knight to set him farther away from the Disney Plus version of himself.
Could be.
Moon Knight did not receive very good reviews.
Yeah.
From me. I thought it was so-so at best.
It was so-so at best. It was fine, but it was so-so at best. I like, what's his name? Who played Mark Spector?
Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap up this news segment.
Wrapping up the news. You remember Battle of the Planets, 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 Planets. If you're old like Steven, you absolutely do. Now, Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, which is the source material for Battle of the Planets, is headed to your local comic shop in 2024 from Mad Cave Studios. According to the publisher, the upcoming comic book series will take place in the original series world as teenage orphans who are probably cyborgs take on Galactor to protect the resources of the planet and fight against alien threats from beyond space.
So, Matthew, since I know more about Battle of the Planets and Gatchaman, I'll have to school you on that one of these days. So
You
called me old, so you implied that I know all about the Battle of the Planets. So yeah,
no, I just
dear listeners, if you are wondering about why we're not talking about Comic-Con or why we're not talking about media stuff, you can go and listen to the Major Spoilers pre-show where we address all of those things. And if you would like to comment on these news stories, well, you can join these conversations over on our Discord server. You can join the Major Spoilers Discord server absolutely free. And we would love to see you join this growing community of awesome people. Truly awesome spoilerites are over there. There is a link in the show notes. And jump into the meme channel. Just the Red and others are really killing it with all the memes that they are sharing. So it's waiting for you right now. Check the show notes. All right, let us jump into some reviews. Let's see. I don't know what Matthew is reviewing, but coming out this week from Dark Horse Comics, Ms. Truesdale and the Fall of Hyperborea from Mike Mignola and Jesse Lonergan. This is one of those series that is set it's obviously set in the Hellboy universe, but it is not a Hellboy story per se. What this is one of those stories where we are introduced to our protagonist, Ms. Truesdale, and we find out that she had a life back in ancient Hyperborea, and she is one of the old descendants of Anum Yasa. And we get to see through flashbacks the fall of Hyperborea, how it is going through its dark days and how Anum Yasa is going through and dealing with all the stuff that is going on from the Wrath of the Gods. I think the thing that is most interesting is they do tell the history of Hyperborea through this exchange, and we find out that the Right Hand of Doom is part of that. So I like this story. I thought this issue was good. This is the third in the story where we really get into the connection between Anumyasa and Ms. Truesdale. I think the thing that is going to be most frustrating to readers is Mike Mignola somewhere has a very detailed Cimmerillian tome about all things in the Hellboy universe, whatever that is, are all laid out somewhere. And I feel like Ms. Truesdale in the File of Hyperborea is like one small portion of Mike Mignola's Cimmerillian, in that it dives into minutiae that most fans won't care about. But if you're wondering how did the Right Hand of Doom become the Right Hand of Doom, this issue right here shows you via flashback how that happened, how the how the gods were fighting and the arm came off and blah, 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 blah. So you can go and check that out. The art by Jesse Lonergan is really good. I like it a lot. It is not in the Mike Mignola style, which is good. It's in the palette that we see in a lot of Hellboy books. But I do like the art, and I do like the color palette that we see in here. Overall, Ms. Truesdale and the Fall of Hyperborea, number 3, I'm giving it 4 slices of meatloaf out of 5. This is not a just pick it up and jump right in and read what's going on. This is one where you need to start from the very beginning. And by the very beginning, I mean Hellboy number 1, all the way back in 1992 or whatever year that was, because this touches on a lot of that ancient history. But if you don't want to go back that far, certainly go back and pick up the first issue, because you're going to be lost. This is the middle of the arc. But still, very good. 4 slices of meatloaf out of 5, Ms. Truesdale and the File of Hyperborea, number 3, out this week from Dark Horse Comics. Okay, Matthew has a book, Power Rangers Unlimited Hyperforce Go.
Hyperforce Go, hop, heep, hop, number 1. I believe it's actually just Power Rangers Unlimited Hyperforce, but either way, if you have been paying attention to the Power Rangers, you know that there is an ongoing plotline involving the return of Rita Repulsa, having now taken up her father's mantle and calling herself Mistress Vile and being the evilest evil that ever did evil. Now, this is tangential to, but associated with that. You may remember a few years ago, the Power Rangers Hyperforce RPG web series, which was streaming on Twitch, if I'm not mistaken, using actors, some of them from the Power Ranger series. The Yellow Ranger is voiced by Paul Schreier, who played Bulk in the original Power Ranger show. So, 30 years later, Bulk finally gets to be a Ranger. But the Hyperforce team was considered canonical by the owners of Power Rangers. So those Hyperforce episodes basically set up a whole time travel world where a set of Rangers from the year 3016, working at the Time Force Academy from Power Rangers Time Force, tried to defeat a big evil bad guy and accidentally erase themselves from reality. So picking up in the year 2023 and or 3023, I don't even know, Power Rangers Unlimited : Hyperforce number 1 basically picks up that storyline, written by Melissa Flores, who's currently handling the main Power Rangers title, and Megan Camarena, art by Federico Sabatini. And I got to tell you, I have not listened to all of those podcasts. I've listened to bits and pieces here as a general rule. And I know this sounds ridiculous given how many podcasts we put out. I don't necessarily have the time to sit and listen to a whole show very often. But picking up this book really feels like stepping into just a Power Ranger season that either I didn't remember or that I forgot that I remembered, because there are moments that feel incredibly familiar as we go through this story. And of course, we start at a relatively familiar point where one of the Rangers has gone bad. Dun, 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 dun. And of course, we have to do we're going to reassemble the team. Since they have a time travel motif, the Hyperforce is not like spread all over Angel Grove. They're literally all over the time stream. And of course, when you do a time travel episode, you have to have somebody trapped in Camelot. You have to have somebody in the weird future. And then you have to have, you know, some guy showing up in like 1964 for some reason. But eventually, our Hyperforce team is reassembled. And then something even worse happens. I don't necessarily want to give that away because that is what kind of hooks the rest of the issue together. Suffice to say that even if you picked up this issue and were surprised by the first issue, or rather the first panels, you will get to the end of the story and be like, oh, well, maybe I didn't see that coming. It also does feature one of the greatest Power Rangers characters. Some of you may remember the Power Rangers episode featuring Santa, where Santa literally morphed and became a Santa Ranger. He's back. He's bad. They never should have called him Mutie. But even with that moment of, oh my God, why is Santa here? Oh, wait, now I remember why Santa is here. Nothing about this issue feels really off, feels out of place. And if there are things that are related to Hyperforce where you're like, oh my God, everybody's out of character, it doesn't come through in the story. There are a lot of Power Rangers characters who sort of recur, stock characters like the Red Ranger, who's not ready to be a leader, or the Pink Ranger, who's, you know, maybe the actual leader of the team while the Red does his thing. Their alpha is Alpha 55 because they're from the future, and he looks pretty cool. But all told, when I got to the end of this issue, I was like, oh, man, I hope these guys tie into the main series quick because I want to see more of this group in action. I want to
read
more.
Yeah, this is a one-shot, right? I don't think there's an issue two on this.
No. The Power Rangers Unlimited right now is a series of one-shots, but they're all sort of taking different bits and pieces of what's going on in this galactic threat. Previously, there was Power Rangers The Coinless, which followed Lord Drakon back to his homeworld where they call people the Coinless because he steals all the power coins because he's a jerk. This is another one of those, but it will be continuing, according to the last pages, in that main Power Rangers title. And, of course, the last time we saw these Rangers was during brief cameo appearances during the Shattered Grid storyline. So they have appeared in the comics before. They've just never actually had lines. And so it's kind of neat to see that kind of going into play. It's neat to see those aspects of the characters on the page. And of course, as we get to the end of the issue, one of the big villains that everybody has been hyping up at Boom and Hasbro pops up their terrible rubbery head in agony, or however that began. All in all, though, even at a $7.99 price point for a triple length book, I'm going to go with 3.5 slices of meatloaf. Sometimes it's hard for me to go, oh, this is, you know, a really expensive title. I can't necessarily say, hey, this is really great because I paid way too much for it. In this case, I feel like the amount of material fits. There's actually, you know, twice the cover price and almost three times the material. But most importantly, I feel like this could be, theoretically, an entry point to people who haven't, you know, sat down and listened to the podcast or watched it on the Twitch, maybe to get some more Hyperforce out into the world, and I'd sort of be fine with that. So 3.5 slices of meatloaf for Power Rangers Unlimited Hyperforce, number one from Boom Studios.
And there is another, I don't know if this is going to be a one-shot or if it's a series. My guess is it's going to be kind of a series. The press release, it was announced today, Boom Studios Power Rangers Ranger Academy, where you get to go and see how the Rangers are made. I think, aren't they just plucked out of high school and said, you're a Ranger now? And one of them's like, oh, form the head.
They're cold cast in plastic and then hand painted.
So the Ranger Academy number one arrives October 4th, 2023 from Boom Studios. So Boom Studios is not letting this IP sit and just do one or two things. They're going full force with these Power Rangers.
Nice.
Rodrigo, you are jumping ahead as you always do. AWA Studios is It's a company that's been around for a while. I'll say 2 or 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. But they've got some big creatives there, and they have a new one coming out in August called The Madness.
Yeah, The Madness. You know, written by J. Michael Straczynski.
I know, right? I said they've got big names there.
Yeah, definitely. I was definitely surprised to see that. It's okay, so it's funny, right? Like, you see an imprint that isn't one of the big two, or one of the ones that are, you know, that we're more useful or used to. And then you see a small imprint and it has a big name attached to it. And it's like, oh yeah, like these guys are like looking around for who's going to let them do what they want to do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that's the origin of The Madness. The Madness, number one, is the story of a young woman. She's a mom. She's got two kids and a husband. And she's, this is a world where superheroes exist. And she's a thief, basically. She tends to steal from the rich to keep, you know, not to give to the poor or anything. Mm-hmm. And she goes in for one last job. You know, the big score that's going to allow her to retire and to never have to worry about any of this stuff ever again. And she does, and the book ends, and nothing else happens. No, that's not true. Something goes wrong, sort of. It goes wrong in the sense that, unbeknownst to her, she sets off a lot of sort of international issues between multiple countries. And it puts the United States in a situation where they're like, okay, we gotta take her out. So this is an origin story for, I don't know if the character is going to be called The Madness, but it's an origin story for what is clearly a supervillain. Once you get to what actually happens when they try to kill her, we don't get to see much of her as this new character. They do mention when before this happens that she's a Monel. Like she can only use one power at once.
Oh,
Ultra Boy.
Ultra Boy.
She's an Ultra Boy. No space whales involved. She can fly. She's super strong and super tough. And I think maybe super strong and super tough get to be one thing together. But she can't fly and also be invulnerable at the same time. But I think only people very close to her know that. Her enemies, as it were, don't know that. So this is a sad origin story. If you've got a thing about kids being put in danger, this might not be something for you. But if you don't, and you want to see where Straczynski's going with this, I would recommend it. It's interesting. It's sort of superheroes with something that superheroes very often don't have, which is their impact on the government and people and institutions that cross sort of like governmental lines or country lines. At least here it's interesting. The art is good. I liked it. It was good times. I'm going to give it 3 slices of meatloaf, and I'm curious to see where it goes.
Very good. Very good. Now, listen, if you do want to see children be put in jeopardy, then by all means, check out our Critical Hit podcast, where we are punching Nazis on a weekly basis. And there's a young sidekick that has been put in jeopardy time and time again. Probably bad.
Not great. Not good. Surrogate parenting.
Yeah. Not good surrogate parenting there by his elder. But Critical Hit is a whole lot of fun. You can go check it out. We've got this arc going on right now where we're using the Octoon Cthulhu 2D20 system from Modiphius. And I think our players are having a good time punching Nazis and trying to keep elder gods from entering our world. You can check that out over at majorspoilers.com or wherever fine podcasts are fed, except for Stitcher, because maybe you heard that Stitcher is shutting down. So if you are listening to us on Stitcher. You only got a few more days before this podcast is no longer available on Stitcher because somebody doesn't know how new media works and they paid way too much money. And so now they lost the money. But hey, speaking of knowing how money works, we know how money works. It's what keeps this show going. It's what keeps the website going. It's what keeps everything that we do at Major Spoilers going. And we only are able to do that thanks to the fine people who are our patrons over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Listen, if you have enjoyed our entertainment for the last, I don't know, feels like 20 years, but it's only been 17, then you need to become a patron today. If you're not a patron, what are you waiting for, man? You've been soaking up 17 years of our fine fun. It's time to kick a little bit back. Become a $5 a month patron so that we can keep this going far, 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 far into the future. Maybe we can actually make it to 20 years. We're only going to be able to do it if we get some more patrons soon. Patreon.com/majorspoilers. In fact, we normally at this point would shout out people's names who are our newest patrons, but we don't this week because nobody became a patron this week. And that's sad. Here we have to turn on the sad Hulk music. Matthew's tier, no patrons this week. Matthew said, and he has to go stomping off into the rain. Actually, it's not raining in Topeka right now, but that's what happens.
Why am I the Hulk? I'm like a college graduate, man.
That is, well, I'm so there. was David Banner.
Hulk is a doctor.
Yeah, he was a doctor. He had a PhD, man. That's why he irradiated his head. He was like, I'm going to put this big gamma radiation machine right up against my head and turn into the Hulk. That's how smart I am. That's what a college education gets you. Tell you what, you can save yourself from being blown up in an atomic explosion. Asterisk. We won't protect you from an atomic explosion. But you can protect yourself from turning into a sad Hulk or having Matthew turn into a sad Hulk. When you become a patron today, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Look, $5 a month. We're not like other shows that's like, hey, we want you to pay us $5 per episode and we're going to release 60 episodes this month. Mm-mm. We're just asking for $5. And you get the Major Spoilers podcast. You get Critical Hit that I just talked about. You get Top 5. You get the Legion Clubhouse. You get Wayne's Comics podcast all up in your feed. And if you are a patron at that $5 level, you also get bonus stuff over at patreon.com/majorspoilers, including the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show where we talk about dancing Star Wars people this week. What the heck am I talking about? Well, you're just going to have to find out when you head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Okay, it's been a long time, gentlemen, since we have read anything from Red 5 Comics. For people that are like, Red 5 Comics, isn't that like Red 5 standing by from Star Wars? Yes, it is. In fact, the founders of the company worked on the original Star Wars movie, so there you go. But this week, we are looking at Dead Kingdom, and I don't know, it's Etienne Derepigeni. I want to say, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. I apologize. Probably. I don't know. Dead Kingdom is about a plague that is haunting an ancient, you know, the old kingdom, English kingdom, fantasy world kingdom. Although we haven't seen any dragons or goblins pop out, but peacekeeping force is sent out to investigate what this plague is all about. And they find zombies. So they don't call them zombies. They just call them the plague-ridden or the living dead. But what'd you guys think of this? What'd you guys think of this book? Rodrigo, you read, or go ahead, Matthew.
I came into this and I kind of wanted to say to myself, what is this? And my worry was that we were getting like basically a Game of Thrones Walking Dead. You know, what that would mean for the good and the bad of it. And in some ways, that actually came true, but I found myself enjoying it more than I thought I would just based on the idea of it being, you know, of someone trying to do that mashup. And I feel like they avoided the pitfalls that mashup, I feel, would have initially entailed, if that makes sense.
Because I guess I didn't get any kind of Game of Thrones thing going on because I don't really see, you know, any kind of power struggle going on. To me, this is... To be honest, when I started reading this and I was like, oh, this is zombies in, you know, ancient England or something like that. The first thing that came to mind was the Zombicide series, like Green Plague, Black Plague. I don't know if you guys have played Zombicide at all, but they have it set in medieval times. And so a lot of this is just feels like straight up out of that. If this was a story about heroes in that setting, it would be Zombicide. That being said, I mean, we've got characters who have a goal, right? You've got our guy who used to fight alongside the king, and something big happened to him. Everybody has respect, but he wants to just be left alone in his little quaint town. And he gets torn apart from his love, sent out to go find out what's going on. And he's the only one that knows how to fight. By the time they come back to the town, it's been overrun by zombies. His true love is gone. And he and his new companions must fight their way from town to town, trying to catch up to his true love. Spoiler alert, he does at the end. But everyone is all in a giant tower waiting for the final zombie attack. And so when you think about who's the hero, what's his goal? What are his obstacles that get to his goal? Is he able to overcome those obstacles? And does he reach his final goal? It hits all those points that the character needs to go from point A to point B. I was a little disappointed that I guess I wanted a little bit more resolution to this story, as opposed to they kiss and then it's like, oh, but they've got a big zombie battle coming up. What's going on? Now, the good news is there's a second volume kicks off later this year from Red 5. So there's more, you know, Dead Kingdom coming. But, you know, I agree with you, Matthew, from a story perspective, there's some good things to like in this. Rodrigo, mm-hmm. did you find good things to like in this? Nope. Did we lose Rodrigo or did he?
Sorry. I was muted.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
I mean, not good that you were muted, but it's good that you didn't, get zapped by
I didn't fall off
Eldritch Horror or something.
Yeah. I did enjoy certain things about it. I thought it was well paced. If you think about what happens in this book, it's kind of they go to a town and find zombies like four times.
Mm-hmm.
But it still felt interesting every time because different things are at stake and different things are going on.
Well, I think you're right there because, you know, the first time they go out, it's like, oh, we are just encountering this. We have no idea what's going on. The hero lives. He comes back to the town and they're ready, you know, his hometown. Everyone's gone. They're ready to burn it, except that he needs to go and rescue a kid. So he's got that adventure going on. And then he meets up with, you know, a blacksmith guy, and then they team up with more people. And so each issue, their party grows and gets better. So I think that from that aspect, you're right. There's something different, even though it is town to town killing zombies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else?
I enjoyed the makings of a party. I really like ensemble, stories. And this is not that. There's a main character, but throughout it, he slowly assembles a group of professionals to help him. And by the end of it, by the end of this volume, they've sort of coalesced into a group, but we still don't know much about them. And other than the fact that they kind of look cool together, they don't have a ton going on. So
yeah, there's not a lot of backstory development on these characters.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like they're, you know, good people that have some amount of like combat or survival training, and they join them and they're good at things.
Yeah.
So I would hope that future volumes maybe go into it a little bit more. This story seems content to or happy to let people live. You know, mm-hmm. it's like a lot of people get killed, mm-hmm. but also nobody eats the baby. And mm-hmm. By the end, it's like, you know, you would expect a group of cool heroes in a zombie story to be mostly decimated by the end. But they're not. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. 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 So here's an interesting thing. Red 5 Comics sent us each of these issues individually over the course of several months. So I've just been, you know, throwing them in a folder saying, oh yeah, we're going to review this on the Major Spoilers podcast when this first volume is supposed to come out. And the one that they had labeled as issue 3 was actually a duplicate of issue 2. So when I sat down to read this, I read through all of it. And when I realized it was a duplicate, I just skipped three and got to four and five. And fortunately, I contacted Red 5 and they sent issue 3 for Matthew and Rodrigo to read. Mm-hmm. I didn't read issue 3, but I still understood everything that happened in the story. Yeah. So I feel like any issue could be kind of a good jumping on point, except at the end of issue 2, there's some masked red-eyed glowing guys that show up. Yeah. And I'm guessing their story is maybe developed a little bit more in issue 3 because they don't make an appearance in issue 4 or 5.
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well. Issue 3 is like a backstory issue, so you get the main character's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And why he has a cool scar. At the end, the guys with the masks are like, "Hey, dude, what's up? Oh, it is almost time. It is almost time, my guy. Oh, cool, cool." And that's kind of all that happens with them.
The yeah. G shows up too? What?
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, that's interesting then. So, yeah, I guess getting a little bit of backstory, I'd have to go back and read issue 3. That being said, because it is a flashback sequence, story read just fine. And I didn't, having that taken away from me in my reading order, didn't hurt my reading experience of that. I was hoping for more on these red-eyed dudes, but okay, maybe that's the next volume, which I believe comes out in October, November of this year. I know they've announced that it's coming. So yeah, that's interesting. And maybe a little disappointing.
Yeah, for me, the biggest miss is that if you introduce that there's bad guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like somewhere in that first volume, you have to give us something about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what they give us on issue 3 is sort of like, oh, the plan is working, but we don't know and we don't really understand much about it.
Right.
I would hope that they would give us something to show us that they are in control or that they're as scary as they look or scarier than they look. Mm-hmm. And they don't really give us anything on them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess bottom line for me is this is enjoyable. If you are a fan of the zombie genre and you want to see what about zombies in oldie times, with the script lettering and all that kind of stuff, this is just fine comics. This is fun zombie comics. Go and read it. Go and see our band being put together. Go and see them go from town to town, wiping out zombies and trying to get to the fair-haired maiden back at the keep. But this is not, I mean, if you're like, oh, I need to have gruesome violence that only Ryan Ottley can bring me in the pages of The Walking Dead, this ain't it. This is pretty tame when it comes to the level of violence. It's not splody bits everywhere. But there's death. I mean, there's beheading. There's, stab him in the head kind of stuff. The art is good. But this is just
that's
good.
That's actually where my biggest problem with the issue comes in.
Is what? Not enough issue. Violence?
No, the fact that the art is good, but it really does feel very much like Charlie Adlard's art on The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the facial expressions and some of the breakdowns, really do feel like I'm reading an issue of The Walking Dead set in that universe just several, centuries earlier. And you can't necessarily be upset about that if that's someone's style, if that's the way you draw, that's the way you draw. And it does look good. There's nothing about it that feels off. It's just that in the back of my head, my brain is like, are we intentionally doing this to try and catch the people who might think, hey, is this somehow tied to The Walking Dead? I don't know.
I don't know.
All the way through it, I kept feeling like,
I mean, if you look at the cover, some of the covers definitely Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Where you'll have like a character, like a large character, and then below them, like a horde of zombies or something, where it's like, obviously the zombies on the character aren't on the same place or plane or whatever. But mm-hmm. It's kind of like the way that the Walking Dead trades right. are dressed.
Mm-hmm.
The symbology feels like it. And there is in issue 5, there's a moment where we see our guy and his pals stepping out of, somewhere and going, "Hey, we're here, you guys." Yeah. And one of them has a club over his shoulder. And I'm like,
I'm sure there's some
look like that looks an awful lot like Negan, y'all.
I'm sure there's some influence there. I mean, you can't if you're doing zombies, you almost can't get away from The Walking Dead. You know, it's been around for what, 15, 20 years now already. And so it's one of those things that are going to be permeated, just like the original Night of the Living Dead. It's something you can't get away from, and it's going to seep into your zombie movie or TV show or whatever it is. And so I can forgive that. That's, to me, is not a disappointment. But again, I didn't think that the level of violence was over the top. Like I said, it's not a Walking Dead or a Ryan Ottley type level of violence where you're going to have an eyeball flying at your head when you're reading the comics. For me, I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. If you're totally in a zombie drought right now, go pick up this book. Go track it down and read it. It's 5 issues. You can go check it out pretty much anywhere. The link that we have on the show notes will take you to Amazon. That's our affiliate link. And it is to the individual issues, because this one, the trade has not come out yet. But you can get the 4 or 5 issues there. So final thoughts from you, Matthew.
It's pretty okay. I feel like there were moments that I did have that, this feels a little bit familiar, but it never felt familiar in a we're ripping somebody off kind of way. It felt familiar in a we're really having fun with the bits and pieces of the story and, you know, the necessary tropes of a zombie story tied on to, I think, what Rodrigo calls low fantasy. I'm not good at the higher lows. It's not necessarily my particular cup of tea and or bag of weed, but I can definitely see that it is a quality comic book. So,
Rodrigo, you get the final say this week.
Yeah, it's well drawn and well written, definitely. My biggest issue with it is that you're like, okay, so zombies are usually like this sort of genre in this sort of place. What if we set them in medieval times? And I feel like a lot of the answers of what would happen are actually like better and easier, like with like smaller urban areas. It means mm-hmm. the zombies don't spread as much. Mm-hmm. Like with everybody having ready access to like head chopping and bashing weaponry. It's like literally these guys are having an easier time dealing with the zombie invasion than, you know, modern urban people do.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the answers are like, actually, this is actually a lot easier. It's not a problem. It's not a big deal. Maybe not quite that, but yeah, that's, you know, when you take your story and you set it in a particular place, you ask, what does this place do for it? And I'm still kind of asking that of this book. I'm not sure why it needs to be set in medieval times, other than to be somewhat eye-catching.
I wonder, because everything else has maybe been done. I mean, we've seen zombies in the future. We've seen zombies in the present day. We've seen zombies Old West. But I don't think we've seen medieval zombies except for Army of Darkness. And that's more played up as a comic.
Well, and Deadites are different than zombies.
Right. So really, again, I go back, if you guys haven't seen a game of Zombicide played, especially Zombicide Black Plague, go onto YouTube and watch some of the people that play those games, and you'll be like, oh yeah, this is exactly what this comic book is. People going through and clearing out, you know, areas where zombies are at, trying to get to the things that they need. I think really, Rodrigo, it's because medieval zombies haven't been done as much. So there you go. All right, dear listeners, that is where we're going to wrap it up this week. Wow, this was a really quick show, one of our shorter ones, and that's fine. We are Comic-Con week. None of us are going to Comic-Con, but if you are going to Comic-Con, I hope you have a wonderful time. Don't do things that are going to get you in trouble, and be understanding that there's a strike going on, so big celebrities are probably not going to be there. I think some celebrities can go for signing, but they're not going to be there to promote their stuff. So if you're in line for Hall H and you're listening to the show, you can leave. I mean, you're not going to have a problem getting into any of those events in Hall H. But we hope you have a good time, and we will be back next week. Next week on the podcast, Rand is back next week, because we're going to be talking about The Champions. Why? Because we know that you love comics, and we do too, and we will talk with you soon.
had the X-ray vision of Superman, I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic bookstore guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Start raving, rich like a man of iron. Might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. Would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being in the middle race with a gang sign throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler, whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.